Third hour, Darren Donick and Jace on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Jace McCabe with you. Hope you're having a good Monday. Let's head east. Let's check in Knoxville, find out the pulse of that market. David Ubben covers the Vols for The Athletic, is on the line with us. David, how you doing? Good afternoon.
I'm doing good. Appreciate you guys having me on.
What is the pulse of the market right now, Vols fans? Yet again, another showing that I think what's concerning that we talked about earlier, David, is, you know, losing is one thing, and that's bad enough. It's not even competing. We went over some of the losses last year where they got blown out, and, you know, it just wasn't competitive on Saturday, and that's concerning, isn't it?
Yeah, you're talking about the pulse. I think it's hard to find for Tennessee fans right now. I mean, I just think, you know, I'm looking inside this morning, and I can smell the distinct scent of apathy. And that is a stench that is really hard to get rid of once it sets in a program.
Apathy is not a good thing. That is the last thing you want,
no.
Especially as a coach. But it really hasn't, you know, it hasn't shown up right now in the stands, right? I mean, yeah, there's been empties, but I mean, you know, I think of the end of Butch Jones, the end of Derek Dooley. Man, those days, whoo, man, it was, you know, 40,000 empties. Well, they're still showing up. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, they have been so far. And the question is, you know, can Jerry Britt get it turned around in time before it becomes like that? But at this point, you know, it's hard for him or anyone to sort of sell hope in the future. You've got some young guys. But when you have young guys that played well a year ago that look like they kind of regressed this year, you have Jerry Tarantino taking a step back. It's just been really surprising, and if you're trying to sell a bright future, I'm not sure what you sort of build that on. It's a difficult situation that he finds himself in.
How do you explain the quarterback shuffle on Saturday? What do you make of that?
I mean, I think it's just as simple as Garrett was playing very well, and I said it at the time, and I think it's still true now. Tennessee didn't score in the first half. They had two turnovers, and they had 88 total yards. So what do you have to lose if you put in a true freshman? I mean, really. Garantano was missing throws. He was missing wide open receivers. He obviously was, you know, he threw the one bad interception that Marquez Callaway seemed to say was definitely on Garantano reading the coverage wrong. He thought it was going to be a comeback. Callaway said, you know, when it's cover two, they were taught to run that out, and he threw it right to a defender. So, you know, it could not have been worse, and I think they wanted to see what was going on. And after the game as well, Jerry Pruitt saying, you know, you got to impact the guys around you, the implication being that Brian Maurer does that and Jerick Garantano does not, and I think he saw a little bit more juice in his guys.
Another thing that was very concerning that we used to talk about at the end of those coaches' tenure at Tennessee is whenever the opposition would come in and take over Neyland Stadium, which is always a bad, bad look. Vanderbilt just had to experience that to kick off their season when Georgia literally took over their stadium, and it was probably 85-90% Georgia fans. It was just a sea of red. They get the off week, and then they're coming back to a home game against Georgia. That would be another thing that should concern Jeremy Pruitt and the program. Philip Fulmer, the AD, is if there's 25,000 Georgia fans in the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility for that game in a couple of weeks. I mean, you know, I just think Jeremy Pruitt's probably not too concerned about that, but maybe he ought to be, and I just think it's really a bleak situation because, you know, mathematically, I don't see a road to 6-6. And if you're trying to sell, well, 2020, like, well, what are you kind of building that on? Like I said, they've got some good players. You know, the young guys, Eric Gray, Henry Toto, your offensive linemen look pretty good. They've had some improvement there. But, you know, our fans are going to get really excited if they're saying, you know, we can win 7 games next year. I don't know that they are. And you know, especially in the middle of a 1-3 season that looks very possible, like they may enter November at 1-7. It's kind of hard to believe that this is where they're at.
Talking to David Ubben, he covers the Tennessee Volunteers for The Athletic. And David, looking at some of your takeaways, one of the bullet points you have is a feeling that you had of tension in the locker room. Tell us what you saw and where you're coming from there.
Well, we're not in the locker room. That was sort of based on reporting, but I think it was something that was relayed to me by two separate people on Saturday night, that there was a a lot of finger pointing and a lot of yelling and blaming in the locker room after the game. And then that's, natural, but not a fantastic sign of sort of where things are at. But I think ultimately it was notable in that the way that it was relayed to me is that there's always disagreements. Nobody likes losing, but that was significantly more intense than they had seen in most of the other losses of the Pruitt era. And that, it feels like there's certainly a lot of tension. The quarterback situation is making that even more tense.
Going into this very difficult portion of the schedule here, the offensive line is going to have to hang in there. You thought it showed some signs of hope, even though, of course, if you're not watching every play, 34-3 doesn't sound great, but you actually thought the offensive line made some progress there.
Yeah, I mean, I went back and watched yesterday, and I think the offensive line, for one, you're seeing less of the kill shots on Garantano and the quarterbacks. The pass blocking is better. I mean, last year, you're getting to November, and guys are still, they don't know who to block. They're leaving guys completely unaccounted for. We haven't seen that. And then the running game has been a little bit better. Wasn't fantastic against Florida, but it was better than it was a year ago. And so I think this they're not, getting eaten up and routinely giving up 2- and 3-yard losses. They've really improved in the stuff rate statistic from Football Outsiders that measures the percentage of run plays that go for no gain or a loss. They were the worst in the country last year by a wide margin. 32% of their run plays went for a loss or no gain last year. No one else in the country had more than 26%. This year, that number is down to 17. So even if you're not pushing people around, you're not getting absolutely eaten up. And that's a step in the right direction, I guess, but still a long ways to go. But the offensive line has improved. Part of that is experience. Part of that is they're a lot healthier than they were last year. And your talent level is just higher, and they're bigger as well.
David Ubben is with us from The Athletic talking Tennessee Vols, and I know they were happy defensively to have Bryce Thompson back in the lineup. I saw that the charges against him have been dismissed. I know that Jeremy Pruitt said he was going on the trip to Florida. It was unknown whether he was going to play, and he ended up playing the game. So how big is it going to be to have him back?
Well, I think they're going to try to, I think Jeremy Pruitt warned on Wednesday that they weren't sure what they were going to get out of him. Maybe he's been back practicing a little bit. But he, didn't play very well on Saturday, and that's pretty natural, and that's sort of your first action of the season. Practice reps are not game reps, and he looked a little rusty. But he was their best corner a year ago, and especially considering how much Warren Burrell has struggled, how much we've seen Alante Taylor kind of regress, they really need him to be the guy that they thought he was going to be, a month or two ago before all this happened, and we'll see if he becomes that.
David, after the bye, the next five games for them, Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama, South Carolina, UAB. What do you think this thing looks like after those five games?
Well, I think they win UAB. I mean, I kind of lean between 2 and 3 wins. I think maybe you can steal one between Mississippi State and South Carolina. I don't know if either of those teams are great. You should beat UAB, but UAB has looked pretty good so far this year. That's no guarantee, especially considering the Georgia State game. So, that's sort of where they're at. I mean, no chance at all against Georgia and Alabama. If you can get a split with South Carolina and Mississippi State, you can feel a little better, and then you got to take care of business against UAB. But, losing to Georgia State sort of changes the entire outlook of the season, and then losing to BYU then puts you way behind mathematically. A bowl game is, you never want to say impossible, but they're going to need some magic to happen to even really get close to sniffing that.
So do you get the sense that Jeremy Pruitt's in trouble with all of this, or is it still way, way too early for that with him just in his second year? Or what is your sense, your pulse of everything?
Well, I think it's early. I think it's way too early. But the fans, there's plenty of them that don't. And attendance will be a factor. Can they be competitive? That will be a factor. Can he keep this team invested? That's going to be a factor. So there's a bunch of different things that have got to, you know, are sort of unknowable at this point. I mean, I think it would take something extraordinary for them to make a change after 2 years. I don't think that's what's best for the program. You know, making so, you know, churn has been an issue, a major issue at Tennessee. And the answer to fixing that is not more churn. Even if you're displeased and if the guy that you got isn't getting it done. But I think, you know, regardless of what happens, there's not a clear path to make it better. A change is only going to make it more difficult for whoever you get the next guy, especially considering Tennessee doesn't have a clear next guy. That makes a lot of sense. And if you punt on another coach after 2 years, you're only going to make it harder on yourself to find a guy. So, you know, beyond all of that, then you're also cutting $15 million buyout checks to your head coach and your two coordinators. I mean, just a change just doesn't really make sense, you know, for this situation where Tennessee is at right now.
Last thing, David. Bryce Thompson, the charges against him have been dismissed after the girlfriend testified. Is that a dead issue now? Is that book closed? What does that mean, that latest news?
I mean, that chapter is closed, sure. I think, you know, the details of the mutual restraining order that were reported, you know, right after that incident, I think sounded like a much more serious incident where his, you know, the female that was involved with him was accusing him of hitting and choking her and threatening to kill her and another guy that she had been involved with. I mean, I think that sounded like a much more serious issue. And, you know, there's a reason why he did not end up at South Carolina. And I think, you know, Tennessee benefited from that in terms of being able to bring him onto the roster. But, you know, people want to point to academics, but it's hard to look at the timeline and not think that mutual restraining order issue, you know, was a factor in all that. So this particular issue is dead, but, you know, whether or not Tennessee's doing the right thing by continuing to sort of be in the Bryce Thompson business after all this is probably open to interpretation.
Yeah, and that whole thing about shooting up the school part, I guess that's been swept under the rug too. I don't know what happened to all that. I mean,
that's kind of
a big deal.
You know, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, if you're mad and you say stuff, I think, was there a real threat of him shooting up the school? That's the question that the university sort of had to answer.
Yeah.
And I think based on their actions, I think clearly they felt like it was not. Was that someone that's just angry and just yelling stuff? That's kind of where I would fall. But, you know, I'm also not on the hook if something does happen. Because if, you know, he says that, you clear him, and then something does happen, you know, that's going to be a major issue for the university in terms of liability, you know, and then also just like the human element of it. So, you know, it's they sort of buy into it, they believe in it, and they're in the Bryce Thompson business, for better or worse, moving forward.
David, thanks for the visit. As always, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Anytime.
Right, he's David Ubben, covers the Vols for The Athletic. We'll come back and discuss some things you heard and give our viewpoints and thoughts on the Vols. On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.